Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at Forever Welcome Family to Signs Foundation. Of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Right. Hello. Good evening, everybody. I'm Roman Karpyszka. Welcome to Signs of Life, Radio's Medium Insights Hour. As your host, I get to interview a whole bunch of really cool mediums on a variety of topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. And we're doing something a little bit different today. We got the video on, so Catherine has graciously agreed to have her video on, too. She's our guest tonight, Catherine Nadal. And I have my video on. That's my background. This is my recording studio. I got full of guitars and, you know, my band practices here and everything. So I figured, hey, why not? You know, put a face to the put a face to the voice. So this is going to be interesting. So again, our show is commercial free. So sit back, relax, have a drink on us, curl up with a loved one, pet, or, you know, or a good book or a good blanket, and, you know, just let us take over your imagination for the next hour or so. So tonight's show, like always, is for informational purposes only. So my guest, like tonight's no exception, Catherine's not going to be doing any readings. But if you do have any questions related to, you know, to mediumship or spirituality, the afterlife, or anything on that topic, please feel free to call in, and I'm sure that, you know, we'll do our best to answer it. And let me just pull up the number. It's 1-888-627-6008. So let me just tell you a little bit about Kathy. She is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, and her gift of spirit communication has been with her since she was 9 years old. She's a psychic medium, clairvoyant, and has trained at the esteemed Arthur Findlay College in Stansted, England. She's also leads guided meditations, which help students utilize their gifts and develop their hidden psychic abilities. She's the author of Seeing More Than Clouds in Your Coffee, Stories of a Psychic Medium in New York City. Her website is dreamcentralstation.com. So all one word, dreamcentralstation.com. Okay, with having said all that, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roman. Thank you so much for having me on. I actually have a second book out now, too. It's called And She Danced by the Light of the Moon.
I'm sorry, what is it called?
And She Danced by the Light of the Moon.
She danced? Isn't that a line from a Mother Goose?
It's funny because I was on George Norrie, Coast to Coast. Mm-hmm. And he, in the middle of the interview, he actually stopped and said that that was his favorite song from the famous Jimmy Stewart movie. The Christmas movie, you know, remember the Christmas movie with Jimmy Stewart?
It's a Wonderful Life?
It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a song inside that movie that talks about dancing by the light of the moon. And in the middle of the interview, the famous George Norrie starts singing the song. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was like such an honor to be on the show. But then to have him singing on the show and during my interview, I was blown away. Yeah.
Yeah. George Norrie, he's fascinating. I used to listen to his podcast all the time back in the day, and I'm sure he's still doing it. And he's always touching the, you know, like the unexplained, you know, the psychic stuff. And yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Yes, he's tremendous. Yeah, a lot of my friends have been on that show, and it was such an honor to be on that show because my dad actually listened to that show for many years. My dad was always kind of inquisitive about all of this, and so it's kind of interesting. I have a funny story about George Norrie because For 8 years, I worked in Salem, Massachusetts. And for a majority of those years, I worked under Christian Day, who's the most famous warlock in the world, you know. And I was driving up to Salem. I would leave at like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I would call my dad and say, hey, Dad, I made it. And I'm going to be working for 12 hours. And my dad, one Halloween season, said, you're working for Christian Day. I finally know who he is, because he was on Coast to Coast. And I said, oh my gosh, it was so wild, because my dad was a very strict Roman Catholic. So, mm-hmm. you know, he kind of really turned the corner having me in his life.
Right. How does that pan over with your, first of all, is your dad still on this?
No, he passed. Okay. Yeah. He's in the afterlife since 2016 mm-hmm. now. Yeah. Okay.
How did he take to your abilities and all of that?
I talk about it in my first book, Sing More Than Clouds in My Coffee, but in Your Coffee. But he didn't really like it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was a very young girl with him, and he and I were buddies. And whatever he wanted to do, I wanted to do. So he was really into fishing. We used to go out and do fishing, and we used to go out and, you know, do some shooting at the rifle range and all that. So I was kind of like the son he never had in some aspects. But one day he said, we're not going to go regular fishing. I'm going to teach you how to go crabbing. So he took me down to this dock in New Jersey, and he explained it. You know, I'm going to drop this kind of net in the water. And when the net hits the water, the doors of the crab net are going to open and the crab's going to go in, but don't touch the rope. So my dad was like really kind of a big teacher. So he started to walk down the dock, and he was talking to the other kids. And I heard, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. It was getting louder and louder. So I said, I better pick it up. So I started to pull on the rope, and I saw my dad turn around, and he started to kind of like road march quickly back to me. So I just pulled it out of the water with all my might. And it was the biggest blue crab that day.
Wow.
On the dock, and all these little boys came running over, and they were like, oh my gosh, you know, and it was so cool. Like, you know, I was like, wow, this is great. You know, and my dad was kind of astonished by it. And I started to listen to that voice. It's like an inner voice. And mm-hmm. I started to have very visual dreams, mm-hmm. dreams that started to become predictive. And I started to share them with my dad in particular. And he shut it down right away. And he said, we don't have dreams like that. And we don't talk about dreams like that. And then when people started getting sick, and I started to talk about one particular lady that I thought she had passed away, and then finding out she did, my father was very alarmed by it. And he said, don't talk about that. So I just decided, like, if he's turned off by it, a lot of other people in my life that are important will be too.
Yeah,
so I didn't really share my gift until I came back from Iraq. I joined the military in my early 20s, you know, to get schooling, you know, paid for. And I stayed in, and I just very competitive, and I kept going on for higher ranks. And when I was in Iraq, my battle buddy said to me, you know, you really got to be working with the public. And I said, well, you know, if I get out of here, because it was very dangerous when we were there. I was almost killed like 3 times. I said, I promise you, I'll do it with the public. And I held my promise. When I came home, a lot of people in the psychic, you know, fair, you know, kind of fair circles contacted me, and I started doing coffee readings. And then I started doing a lot more than just my coffee readings.
Right, right, right. Wow. That's a fascinating history. So do you like, when you were in Iraq, were you able to like foresee anything happening that kind of kept you safer than normal, you know?
Yeah, I can't really say safer. I didn't really have a lot of control with where they were telling me to go and what I was supposed to be doing. But there was a lot of times, I mentioned 1 or 2 times in the second book that I wrote. But I don't want to give the book away. But I was very in tune to what was happening or had happened in an area. There's 1 or 2 stories that I tell in the book. I can't really talk a lot about things that I did related to the military, but, you know, any environment where something has happened that has been traumatic. I don't even have to leave the United States to be able to feel that. And a lot of us do, you know, feel things, you know, we're empaths. So we feel energy. We feel, you know, either like when my paranormal work, I go into an, you know, a building or I go into an area that's supposed to be haunted. I feel things. But it's very energetic. You know, it's very, very clear. Circumstances that you're in that you really can't get out of. It's really more of a stressful situation because, you know, you're there. It's not like I could say, well, let's leave Iraq. Because I think everyone would have agreed with that, you know. But you know, there's circumstances here in the United States. There's places that I've gone, you know, in certain neighborhoods that, you know, I just feel like I really need to get out of. Also meeting certain people. I've met some people over many years of my life that have either lived a very difficult life or involved in a very difficult circumstance. And I can feel it immediately. It's before they even tell me their name or, you know, I can see them across the street and I automatically know that, you know, this is not someone I really want to go toe to toe with. And it's really the energy. It's not just sizing someone up or looking at someone. It sometimes takes you by surprise. Sometimes when people say, oh, that person's wealthy, you would never know, you know, the way they're dressed. Sometimes when you talk about energy, you would never know. You know, it's you can't just size up someone by the way they look. You have to feel it internally. You automatically know you're going to get along with somebody or something, but it's kind of a different. Have you had that experience, Roman?
You know what? Yeah. I chalk it up to like a kind of like intuition. But you know, I don't consider myself to be psychic or anything like that, or clairvoyant or anything like that. But you know, sometimes things have happened and you know, sometimes you know, something's going to happen and it just, and there's like, and there's nothing you can do to prevent it, you know, but
that's,
you know,
right.
It's going to happen.
That's right. Yeah. But you're right though. Everyone is intuitive. I believe everyone is psychic. I feel some people aren't really aware of how psychic they really are.
Right.
And that's why I think sometimes people have that little freak out episode, like, oh my God, because they thought of something and then a few minutes later it happens. But very often telephone calls, thinking of a person, you know, there's a lot of that where, you know, you just thought of someone and the next day they call you. So there's really a big link, I believe, in energies between people.
There definitely, yeah. And we can't even understand it because, you know, like I say this often on the shows, is it's our brains are really not what we think they are. They're more like reducing mechanisms. They're like antennas that pick up information from all around, kind of thing. And it's the old analogy that if you, you know, if you smash the TV, okay, let's say the TV's like our brain. You smash the TV, you didn't kill the weatherman. You know what I mean? You just ruin the receptor
that's right.
That information up. You know, yeah, the TV won't work. But yeah, the information's out there. And we just, you know, we haven't even tapped into it. It's too, I mean, I don't know, quantum physics and all of that, it proves that, you know, consciousness is what dictates reality and not the other way around. And they're making a lot of strides with that. And, you know, they're coming up with, they're using that principle to come up with some really neat inventions like quantum computing and all of that, which is going to, you know, make the speed of computers infinitely faster than what they are today, you know, but we're still a long way off. And, you know, this whole thing with artificial intelligence, it's scary. I just came back from a seminar where, you know, they're talking with the New York State. They're talking about cybersecurity. And really, you know, like AI is like ChatGPT is an example of AI, is being used for good. But on the flip side of the coin, there's a lot of bad people using it also to make more sophisticated, faster programming to, you know, to make you part with your money. You know, so there's, you know, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse in terms of the level of involvement and the, you know, how both sides, like, because the bad people are using it. They're becoming more sophisticated. Then the people that try to find these things also have to learn, and they're forced to, you know, keep up with it. Otherwise, yes. Bad people are going to win, you know?
Yes.
You know what? That's way off
topic. Yeah, but you know, Roman, you bring up a good point, though, you know, because I do so much work in grief. And it's not just our family members and friends that pass away, but it's also our animals, our pets. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people know me. I'm like the cat woman, but I've had a lot of particular pets in my life. And it was about a couple of years ago, but my favorite cat, she's in my second book. Her name was Meg Ryan. And she was like a internet sensation. You know, I was always dressing her up and putting hats on her and everything. And when she was very sick, you know, believe it or not, the vet was trying to tell me all these different things that they can continue to do to extend her life. And I felt very badly about it because I knew she wasn't well. But I also started to think, like, if I could find another Meg Ryan, you know, so, you know, the cat lover in me thought, wow, that would be amazing if I could get another Meg Ryan. And I got involved in a conversation with someone, and I was alarmed to hear that you can actually pay to have your pet cloned, and you can get another pet just like the pet you had.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, it was eye-opening to me. First of all, I didn't know that was possible. But second of all, I thought, wow, that's amazing. I would love that. And then I thought of Meg Ryan, and I was like, that's not fair to Meg Ryan. You know, she was an individual, and she had, you know, she had her own personality. And I said, you know, you could see how people could be tempted. And then when I saw the sticker price on it, I was even more alarmed. And I was like, okay, this is just not right. You know, totally not right. But on top of it, I thought, wow, you know, love is so powerful, you know, in our connection, especially in grief. You could see why people would want to even start to entertain a concept like that. And these things are only possible because of all the changes that are being made. Like you said, AI, you know, it's all, you know, 30 years ago, no one would even believe that we're having this conversation, you know, and that's just going back to the 90s, you know?
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
You know, they're going to have to set up some kind of ethics, moral committees about, you know, because we're not far from cloning humans.
Well, that's exactly the point. I know. That's exactly the point. Because if I was tempted with the cat, I mean, you could see being tempted with a human, you know.
I firmly believe, though, that if you went ahead and cloned Meg Ryan, you would get another cat that looks exactly like, you know, your other Meg Ryan. I also believe that the personality would be different.
I agree. And that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
Because if you see a picture of Meg Ryan, I mean, everyone recognizes her. I mean, but she was like a pure heart. I mean, she was so sweet. Mm-hmm. She would like if someone would come in my apartment, she'd go running up and rub against their leg, and she'd like entertain them. And I thought, wow, can you imagine getting another Meg Ryan? And then it's the cat from like craziness. I would be heartbroken, you know, because Meg Ryan never showed, you know, any kind of crazy activity, even when she wasn't well, you know. So I think that would make my grief even worse. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a mixed bag. You don't know what you're getting, you know.
Absolutely. No, it's scary times. So you were mentioning that you were on with George Noory, and I'm sure the topic must have come up about extraterrestrials and all that kind of stuff. And do you tap into that kind of energy, like out of this world kind of energy?
Well, it's interesting. Like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, I was in New Jersey for a conference. And they call it the Cryptoid and the Paranormal Conference. They actually asked me to be the guest speaker. And I was the only medium, but, you know, as a guest speaker. And, you know, I'm certified with Forever Family. And, you know, and speaking about my ability and speaking about the afterlife and speaking about the process that Forever Family goes through in testing their mediums, the crowd was amazed. You know, this group of people that goes to these kind of conventions are really focused on UFOs. They had Dr. UFO as a guest speaker. They had two experts from Bigfoot. Ron Moorhead was there, who's a very famous guy on Bigfoot. And, you know, there was a woman there that I know, Madam X. She represents the vampire, you know, crowd. And, you know, everyone was getting up talking about different things. I've always been a believer in UFOs. I'm not sure how much I can go down the path with Bigfoot. I've spent many years in the woods, you know, with the military. I've never seen Bigfoot. I don't know. I did hear some sounds. Mm-hmm. Ron Moorhead has been studying Bigfoot since the early 1970s. He played unbelievable audio that definitely doesn't sound human. He even had it evaluated by, I think, a cryptolinguist in the military that did verify that there was no human sounds in what the squall was. It was like a screeching squall sound. But I was fascinated. You know, they invited me back, and, you know, it's a great crowd of people. Every time I go out and I meet people or I listen to George Norrie, I learn, you know, we can't be experts in everything, you know, but I believe they learned from me that day about the afterlife and forever family. And I believe I learned from them.
Mutual learning. I love it. It's a good thing. Absolutely. So you're practicing and you reside in New York, right? You're still in New York City?
Yes. I actually live right outside of New York City. In that town called Bronxville, it borders Yonkers.
Oh yeah, I know Yonkers well. There's a big. I'm of Ukrainian descent. There's a very big Ukrainian community in Yonkers.
Oh sure, I know it. Yeah, there's a church there, mm-hmm. and it's right off of Shonard Place.
Yep, and they're having their festival there this coming weekend. Actually, the big Ukrainian festival. So
yes,
look around. Want some pierogies and, you know, really
good. Yes, exactly.
That's the place to go.
That's right. I grew up with a Ukrainian family, and we used to go to Easter with them, nice. And they would have their baskets blessed in that church. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We do that. Here. I'm in Albany.
Oh.
We have a couple of churches, Ukrainian churches here in Albany, and we do that as well. So it's fun to, you know, to be Ukrainian. What can I say? It's good to know other cultures. And as a Ukrainian, I get to see, you know, mingle with other cultures at different kind of things. And it's really good to have that, because let's face it, you know, people need to start tolerating other cultures.
There's a big push for community. That's right. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the United States was based on immigration. You know, there was no people here. Well, I mean, North American Indians, but everybody that came here was an immigrant. So, you know, I think, you know, it's strange times, and it's obviously different now than it was, but something's got to be done with that. You know, what's going on now is just really not good, I think, you know, with the border and people coming in, and, you know, and I feel for these people, because they're, you know, they're escaping persecution and much worse conditions to have a chance at, you know, freedom in America, you know, but it's a hard decision. It's a hard decision to make. So, hey, we got some questions from some of our listeners. So I'll be throwing them your way. Like,
okay.
All right. So one person wrote in, do your guides ever help you in making connections to someone in spirit? Like, do you ever use your guides to help make that connection, or do you just do it on your own?
Mostly I connect with my guides in meditation. Mm-hmm. So every time I sit for all my readings are done by Zoom. So I sit in meditation by myself before I do the reading. Mm-hmm. And I connect with my guides, but when I do the reading, I'm connecting, making my own connection. So a lot of times my guides will show me things that are happening around the person, but it's mostly me connecting with their loved one. That connection's coming from me in the reading.
Oh, okay. No, that's good. Somebody else wrote, how do you determine if you're getting the information that you're receiving is from someone in spirit as opposed to psychic information coming from the living?
Yeah, so a lot of us get that question time and time again, and that's one of the main reasons why the Forever Family Foundation exists, because that's part of how they do the testing on us. It's called validation of spirit. So the information that we bring through is valid to that person only. So we bring through spirit, we describe who they are in relationship to the person, you know, that we're reading for. The person that we read for, we call them the sitter. Yep. So what, you know, what that person means to that person. Are they a sister, a father, a child? We tell them that positioning. And what they, like the way I work, is I'm clairvoyant and clairaudient. So it's whatever they tell me and whatever they show me, I repeat to the person. Sometimes I actually hear like a whole conversation. So I'll hear a conversation that the person that I'm reading for had with their loved one. And that brings the reading to like a whole nother level. That's not psychic information. That's information no one would have. You know, it's not just, oh, you can Google this or you could do that. It's private information that only exists in their family or only exists between two people. And that's what we call validation of spirit. And that's what all of our testing is based on. It's a very unique reading and it's not anything general.
I've heard of experiences where it's even deeper than that, where you will tell somebody, a medium will tell something to the sitter, and the sitter then finds that to be true later.
Correct. Right? Yeah, so that happens very often because they didn't know the story. Where they didn't know the scenario and they share it with someone else. Very often I get an email back and they say, I'm sorry, I was so adamant and I kept telling you no, no, no. And then they went and checked it out. So that to me is actually even better because they know that they didn't, you know, we always claim we know everything about our loved ones, but it's impossible to know everything about our loved ones, you know. Right. Sometimes there's stories between people. You know, like two brothers, you know, I had a very interesting story with my uncle after my father passed away. And I thought I knew exactly the story. And when I shared it with him, he said, no, that, you know, it was during a time they were merchant marines or something. And he told me the story a different way. And all these years, I thought I knew the whole story and I didn't. So that would be, again, validation of spirit, you know.
Of course. Absolutely. So a normal day in your life, I mean, do you turn off your abilities during the day, like when you're doing shopping or whatever?
Yeah. Something so my life, my life is very particular. I'm very different. I work Monday through Friday as a registered nurse. I work for a VA hospital.
Oh, and okay.
In the evenings, I do my readings, and weekends I do my readings. They're all on Zoom. But I also have a radio show, and my radio show is pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. And once I pre-record the radio show, I send it down to Florida and it airs live every Thursday. So a lot of my guests are actually in the music business. Some of the guests are witches from Salem. Some of the guests have been to NYPD, 9/11, Navy SEALs, you know, just a mixture of people that I know. But a majority of them are music people. And the focus of my radio show is it's called Bringing the Darkness to the Light. And it's basically talking to people about their lives and their career, but also about, you know, they see a change in their life. So either they realize that their path, you know, early on in their life was music, or that something happened and they bring, you know, it comes upon them. You know, like I have a couple of really good interviews coming up that I don't want to give away, but it's pretty amazing the things that happen in people's lives. I talked with a police officer recently that didn't know he was going to be a police officer. He went out to California and started to do soap operas, and then 9/11 happened. And he couldn't get back to New York fast enough. He said, I want to come home. I want to come home. And when he came home, he said, I want to be a cop. I want to be a police officer. So that 9/11 actually changed his path. You know, I spoke with a Navy SEAL that couldn't believe he was, you know, really super fit. He showed up to Navy SEAL, you know, and there was like 212 guys or something. And he said, one after the other, one was more fit than the other. You know, how are they going to whittle us down? And he said, 3 days in, he said that 212 went down to like 26. And I think they graduated with like 26. So it wasn't really physical strength. The lesson was the mental stress of getting through Navy SEAL school. And through that whole process, he learned that he was really a leader because he became a team leader and he was encouraging others. So a lot of these interviews, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I have the show. It came to me in a dream, Roman. I had a dream I was going to have a radio show. And I was like, is this really possible? You know, so I believe we are shown signs about helping other people, but it'll also help, not just helping the people I'm interviewing and promoting them, but everyone that's listening. Everyone that's listening learns a lesson, or everyone that's listening gets some sort of motivation into their life. So it's a continuous effort of helping people.
Cool. Hey, we got a listener. We got Lisa from Utah on line one. She's going to be, she's got some interesting questions. So, Lisa, welcome to the show. Oh, unfortunately, she dropped.
Okay.
Try to call back, Lisa. We'll take your call. Don't worry.
They can write in the chat box maybe, right?
Yeah, well, they can. Yeah, I think she had something about animals that cross over.
Oh, okay.
We can talk about that. Probably, you know, based on your conversation about Meg Ryan. Probably.
<Yes. laughs> You know, it's so often, I don't know what her question was, but so often in a reading, I will see animals that pass over. And it's so interesting how they come through. I was reading for someone recently, and I could see the person that passes over. So I'm describing them. And then behind the person's head, I saw a cat tail wavering. And I said, oh, she must have had a cat. And she said she had tons of cats. And I was like, oh, but I just saw the tail kind of wave, you know. And very often they kind of hold a leash up. And it depends upon how they hold the leash from me. I can tell if they're referencing the pet they left behind. When the leash is down, that means they left before their pet did, and they're checking in on how the dog is doing. If they hold the leash over their head, like over their head, it means for me, the dog is with them on the other side. Ooh. And sometimes they show me the coloring of the fur. And that's a little tricky for people because, you know, if I see dark fur, they're like, which one? Because some people actually are drawn to a particular breed or a particular coloring of an animal. So, you know, then it gets a little tricky. I mean, but sometimes I'll actually come up with a name of a dog or like a nickname that they had for the dog. So I get wowed myself sometimes because I'm like, wow, that was really cool. You know, like, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, dogs, I love dogs. And I love cats also. I love, you know, house pets or whatever. But at what point do all animals have a conscious and a spirit?
I think they do. I don't know scientifically. I mean, we have people that are probably part of the Forever Family Foundation that are probably more experts on this than I am. But when I see animals cross over, sometimes they show me like how they cross over. Sometimes they don't. I read for someone recently that had an animal pass over, and it was more of an accident. It was more of like a tragedy. Right. And turns out that was the main reason why the person called for the reading, because they just, you know, it was such a sudden passing for the animal. But also they come through with their personality. So for me, it's no different reading about the animals than reading about the people. I have a good friend. She wrote the foreword to my second book, Dr. Lori Nadell. And she's actually a Reiki healer for animals. So I had rescued a cat after Meg Ryan, and the cat was having a lot of problems. And I was really distraught because I had taken this from Texas. They like traveled around with these rescues. So I felt bad and I said I'd take the cat. And the cat was like jumping on the counters and like climbing around and just out of sorts. I thought like something's really wrong. So I contacted Dr. Nadell and Dr. Nadell said, take a picture of the cat with your phone, send it to me, and I'll do Reiki from a distance because she lives in Florida. And I am not kidding you. Within 48 hours, the cat was coming next to me, laying on the rug next to where I was sleeping. The cat was actually going to the window and looking out, like acting more normal. And I was like, wow, that's such a testimonial, you know, because I really felt like I'm going to have to call animal, you know, the animal police to get this cat. I mean, I couldn't go near it. And just 48 hours after Dr. Nadell's Reiki, she turned around that cat, you know, so it's pretty amazing, you know, and I can only say that as a pet owner. But when something happens to you, you have a different perspective of it. You know, you have your own personal, you know, spin on it, and it really works. It's really tremendous.
Very interesting. Yeah, we have a cat that we've had for about 8 years now. He's got the life. His name is Gudzik, which means button in Ukrainian. And my kids love it. He's smothered with attention, like too much, you know, but he's very patient. You know, we never had him declawed. We have, you know, he's an outdoor cat that comes inside and goes as he pleases. And it's great. He's got a good life. He must have been Mother Teresa in the previous life because he's got it so good this life.
Yeah.
Dogs. I want a dog, but yeah. They're a little bit more maintenance, and you can't just pick up and go with a dog.
Correct. Cat, yeah.
Gravity feeders. You can leave them all week, no problem. You know, you know, the cat will look at you. Oh, you're back already? Okay. Well, whatever. You know, they're a lot more independent. Good stuff. So, do you have another person wrote in? Do you have any suggestions about how people can foster their own abilities? Like you said earlier that you think that everybody has a bit of abilities. What can you do to foster it?
I think I always tell people to have a journal. That's really very important. Some people are not really sure what to do with the journal. Some people, the first thing I ask people is, do you remember dreaming? Some people say they don't remember dreaming. A lot of people get a lot of images in their dreams. So they can start a dream journal and they'll start seeing like a pattern with their dreams. Either they'll start dreaming of people that they deal with every day, like they'll have a work dream or they'll have a family dream, or, and other people feel that they don't connect with that. So I tell them to keep a journal and say, what was most remarkable from you that day? I talk about it in both of my books, but we receive signs and, people say, so is that from a loved one? Or sometimes it's not necessarily from a loved one. It's a sign that you need to see for yourself. A lot of people are going around in circles, like not knowing what direction they need to go in. Or if they're going over an issue about work, or they're stuck on a problem, or they're struggling through a relationship. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the universe, like right in front of us, will show us a bumper sticker, or they'll show us a sign, or we'll see a commercial or whatever it is. It's right in front of us. So if they start writing those things down, then they take it a step further and say, when I saw this, what did it make me think of right away? Did it make me think about my problem at work? Did it make me think about my relationship thing? How did it make me feel? Did it make me feel like I can make a decision over this, or did it make me feel more confused? So I really think using the journal really helps people. Also, like some of the Forever Family Foundation mediums actually are instructors. They hold classes for psychic development and mediumship. Right now, I'm very busy with the radio show and my nursing work, so I'm not doing any teachings. But I would really recommend that someone get involved in doing that. Formally, but doing it with someone with the Forever Family Foundation, because they've been certified and they're, you know, that's really the key. A lot of people could hold a circle, but you can't always, you know, feel that you can validate the information if you're not sure of the person's background or the source of the information being shared. So I found that very interesting with Arthur Findlay College. when I went over there because they're very, very strict. And I went over there almost in a, you know, because someone had sworn me do some work with James von Prock, and it was actually Siri Bernstein, who's with our Forever family. She took the camera and she filmed me giving a reading at a James von Prock event. And mm-hmm. I took that film and I sent it to Suzanne Northrup, and Suzanne Northrup said, send it to John Holland. When John Holland saw that video of me giving the reading, he said, she needs to go to Arthur Finley. And I went to Arthur Finley because I thought, I need them to tell me, like, should I be doing this, you know? Mm. And when I went there, I was in their top class. So I needed that validation for myself, but I also needed to hear what they felt was evidence of spirit. I had Simone Key on my radio show as a guest, and she talks about, like, the British way. There's a difference in the cultures, you know, like I talk with my hands, I move around, I have a New York accent, you know, British style is a little bit different, but they also, like, well, they're more
proper, prim and proper.
Well, they're more proper. Yeah. And she kind of jokes around when we talk about it, because she said, when you're kind of delivering information, you don't want them looking at your hands more than hearing what's coming out of your mouth, you know, like you don't want to create a distraction in some way.
So but, they sound their hands.
Arthur Finley, in some way.
There.
I went there twice. So there's a like 7-day class. And then I think it was maybe 1.5 or 2 years later, I went back for another 7-day class. But both times I worked with Simone Key. I think she happens to be one of the best tutors there. She's very strict about delivering information. You have to kind of hit 5 marks. You have to say, like, who the person is, what, how they passed, really, like, detailed information, like, did they have a nickname or what were they known for? Usually it's about 5 things, but she brings you through, at least the courses I took with her, very unique exercises. You know, I was talking to her recently and I said, I remember you blindfolding us at one point, and that was a real exercise, where they took the you know, the talking medium blindfold so that you can't see anyone in front of you. And as you deliver information, everyone in the semicircle around you is raising their hand if they can take the information. So the more information you give, it's not going to match everyone. So hands will start going down. So at the end of it, you know, they take your blindfold off, and then the person that can take the information delivers the feedback. And that's really what you need to know. Because when you're doing this, you know, you might think, you know, I'm doing it. But to get the feedback, you really realize how deep you can really get the information from spirit.
And very interesting. By the way, do you have a microphone cord that you might be hitting or anything? Because there's crackling when you're talking. It's not that bad. It comes and it goes.
No, I don't. You don't.
Yeah, I don't either. It's just, we just have a bad connection, I guess. Don was pointing that out to me in the chat.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, we hear you.
All right. I don't know. My cats might be running around in the background.
Screwing up your Wi-Fi. Who knows? Nah, it's definitely tolerable. I've had much worse.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you keep up your energy level? You're working as a VA nurse, then you come home, you do readings. Doesn't that drain you?
I'm very active. I've always had, like, you know, I was in the military for 30 years, and I retired in 2021. I retired as a colonel. And I think it was my military training. You could really learn to really just stay focused on one task at a time. And a lot of my leadership training, a lot of my military schooling really taught me how to, like, block things out. The military training, unless you ever went through it, you wouldn't understand. But the way they teach you, you know, you really, some people have things that kind of bleed over into other things, you know, they can't stay focused where, you know, one activity bleeds into another activity. And I can kind of block stuff out. And it's just really the military training. they make you realize that the thing that's right in front of you or the thing that you're involved in is the most important thing right then, right there. Because we deal with life and death a lot of times in a combat situation,
right,
you can't allow distraction or outside sources to take you off course.
Right. So that, yeah, that definitely helps. And did you make aware of the fact while you were in the military about your gifts, and did they apply it somehow in those situations?
Yeah, I know. It's funny though, because, you know, when I said I would work with the public, I started getting a lot of radio shows and interviews, and I said, I have to tell the commander. So the higher rank I got, you know, my commander was a general. So every time I had a new commander, I had to sit with the general and say, you know, I might be on this radio show. I have this, you know, website. I have that. And every one of them was like, yeah, like shrugged their shoulders, like, yeah, so what, whatever.
Never floats your boat, right?
Yeah, they weren't really like telling me, no, don't do that. You know, they know from my training that, you know, I'm not going to discuss the military or any military operations or anything that's considered that way. But it's interesting because, you know, if you have conversations with Lloyd Auerbach or a few of the other guys that we have in Forever Family, they'll talk to you probably a lot about military and them using psychic, you know, psychic resources in the military. That's already been well documented. I think there was even a movie about that. But that's a special elite force that they were involved in doing that research. But, you know, I didn't do any predictions. That was not something that I was there in Iraq for. That was not something that I would do in the middle of doing my operation and doing my work. Again, I was focused on being who I was, where I was. But they do use things like that. I mean, it's been well documented. But my soldiers, actually, you know, till this day, you know, they would say, we'd drive through an area and they'd go, okay, Colonel Liddell, you feel anything? You see anything that we don't, you know? So it was always kind of like a joke, you know?
But, not a joke. You're here. You got
through
it safely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You threw some names there on the show. Lloyd Auerbach. Yeah. I remember
having I also had Dr. Cal Cooper on as a guest on my radio show, both Lloyd and Cal Cooper. And both of them are fascinating. You know, they're parapsychologists. And that's a whole, you know, Dr. Cal Cooper is amazing because he has this book called Telephone Calls from the Dead. And so many people have had, you know, where their phone rang and the call came from a loved one. And this goes all the way back in time, you know. So speaking to him is really, really fascinating. And Lloyd, you know, Lloyd's been in the field for, it must be at least 40 plus years. He was very involved going back to when they started to do like early in his career, I think it was Ghostbusters. He talked about when the movie came out, you know.
He was an advisor for that or something, right?
Yeah, well, he got featured in a very big newspaper in the San Francisco area because everyone was at a parapsychologist conference except for him. So he was the only one that didn't go. So he actually got involved with doing the whole interview and everything.
Right. Wow. Speaking about people that are associated with Forever Family Foundation, that Piero Calivieri.
Yes, I've seen him speak publicly.
It's his birthday today, so I want to say happy birthday to him.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, he's a wonderful man. I've actually spoken to him and saw him at one of our conferences. And early on, he was giving out one of those memory sticks with his work on it. I think I still have that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's done a lot of work.
Yes.
Done a lot of documentation, a lot of work, a lot of studying. And he guarantees that if you take his course, your grief will be gone because you will know without a doubt, you will know that there's an afterlife. And, you know, our loved ones just, you know, a heartbeat away, pretty much. The way Fran used to say all the time. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just to end their shows. So much. Oh, I miss her too.
She was really, really a gem. She was such a gem, you know.
Down to earth.
Email, like, you know, I would email her a lot. And you could hear her laughter in her emails. You know, she had just a way of saying stuff,
Oh
you
yeah, she
know?
had this cackle about it, like the way she laughed. I love it. I could still hear it now. It was really, and she couldn't tell. Boy, could she tell the story? I
Yeah,
remember
she was
being at
really
the
great.
Ginsburg's one. We overnighted because they had a medium thing, and then all the mediums stayed over, and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, she was just a riot. I'm sure she's partying it up in heaven right now. So, which is
Yeah.
really great, you
Yeah,
know.
very
I wish
grateful
she
for
was here.
Fran and Bob because of their inspiration, you know,
Yeah.
after, you know, and finding the motivation to create something so special like the Forever Family Foundation. You know, Bob
Yeah.
has authored some books, you know, and anytime I do a public event, I bring his books with me because people really need to know, you know, that there's a lot of research being done, and not just research, but there's people that are actually on a mission to validate. You know, that's one thing my dad would talk about, you know, you don't ever want to be called a charlatan, you know.
Of course
And
not.
there's a
Yeah.
lot of people out there that are not doing the right kind of work.
There are a lot of charlatans, and in my quest to learn the spirituality and everything, I went before I found the Forever Family Foundation. I went through a lot of bad mediums. I mean, I had this one medium that says, like, show up with a picture of your son if you don't mind. Go, what?
Yeah.
So what? So you can describe him to me from the picture? It
Yeah.
just makes sense, you know? So yeah,
Yeah.
there's a lot out there that are bad, but there's a lot of really good ones. And it's I'm very thankful for
Yes.
discovering this whole world, because
Yeah.
it's still, despite it's getting better with the with social media and all that, but it's still far from being mainstream, this science, very far, and that's unfortunately the money is in the mainstream sciences. And it's just a kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I think we're making strides, and I think it's going to be common knowledge within the next 50 years. That's my prediction. It's just going to be accepted everywhere, that kind of thing. So, and I think it once it is, I think it'll do a lot for world peace, because God knows we need it,
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is I started my nursing career early on in hospice nursing and cancer nursing and stuff. Yeah, and you know the biggest thing is you know, it doesn't matter somebody's religion affiliation or everyone has this fear because nobody has kind of like had the ability to say, I've been there, it's fine, you're going to be fine, you know, like most people that go to the afterlife stay there, you know. And you know, there's been a lot of research on, you know, the near-death experiences, but not everyone believes in them, you know. So
It's anecdotal. It's anecdotal. So it's not the
exactly.
strongest. I mean, it's even though it's anecdotal, anecdotal science is not the strongest science. So,
Yeah. So
but
the biggest thing is with the, you know, working with a population where people are imminent to be passing away, you know, and working with their family members, you know, the idea of the afterlife or being able to explain it. I remember when my dad was really not well, I moved in with him and he said to me, you know, what is it going to be like? And I said, well, I talked about this in my books, but I did a hypnosis session. And not everyone believes in hypnosis either, but I was left with this image, and it's the only image that I've been able to explain to people. In my hypnosis session, I was shown a wheat field. It was a beautiful wheat field. It was golden, and I wanted to go to it so much so that when the therapist was bringing me out of hypnosis, I had my arm out like I was reaching for it. And he said to me, what did you see? And I said, it's this beautiful wheat field. It's golden. It feels warm. I want to go to it. And he said to me, what did it make you feel like? I said, it made me feel like that's the only thing that's important. Everything behind me didn't matter. And I think that's, I was shown that for hypnosis. I don't know, but I was shown that. So that's the example that I tell people, like my dad, my cousin Tommy. People that were faced with, you know, looking at, you know, the next 30 days, they may be passing away. And that actually brought both of them comfort. And my dad was like, wow, if it looks like that, it's beautiful, you know? And but it's the bigger idea that people say, like, how could they leave me? And it's that unknowing reason why you don't want to turn around. It's
Right.
just wanting to go forward.
Absolutely. You know what, Catherine? We ran out of time. Can you believe it?
Really?
Isn't it
Oh,
fast?
wow, that went so fast. You're a lot of fun.
It went so fast. Unfortunately,
Wow.
we didn't have that caller, but it's all good. We talked about a bunch of
Aw.
stuff, and it was, so great. I mean, the last time we had you on the show was like in 2022, June of 2022. So, 2 years have passed. It goes by like
Yes.
that. But it was so great catching up with you.
Yes. Yeah. I have a couple of events this summer.
Okay, please go ahead.
I'm doing Paracon in Connecticut with Charles Rosanay. And I'm going to be doing that with Dan Sturgis. Dan Sturgis is doing Paranormal Caught on Camera, and that's on the Travel Channel. So we'll both be at the Paracon event with Charles Rosanay. And then the
When
following
is that? When is Paracon?
Paracon is, I have it, it's July. I have it here. It's July 20th and 21st in Stratford, Connecticut. And then the following month, I'm doing another event with Charles Rosanay, and it's in Hartford, Connecticut. And it's the witch trials, and that's on 10 and 11 August. And it's the first witch trial conference that we're doing, because last year the state of Connecticut finally acknowledged, the injustices of witch hunting. So this is the it's going to be a big deal, and it's going to be in August. So I'm going to be doing both events, July and August, with Charles Rosanay.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming
Thank
on.
you.
And it was a fascinating show, Kathy. And we hope to talk to you soon. And thank you, listeners. We will, I'll be back next month, in the second week and second Thursday of the month. And until then, just, be happy. Everybody be happy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you again, Roman.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank
All the
you.
best to you, and good night, everybody.